Hello, everybody. We have been gone for a couple of weeks, but we are back. We are back, and this past weekend, some of us hit Scare LA down in downtown Los Angeles. We learned a lot from Halloween Horror Nights, from Linda Blair, Exorcist, from George C. Romero, the son of George Romero, and a lot of professional haunters, one of whom we have in the room with us tonight. Also, we will preview things that we're most excited about with this coming Halloween season. I'm getting over jet lag, but we're going to have a great show tonight, guys.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Doesn't sound kind of spooky?
Yeah, it does.
I like it.
I like it. And we're all red this time. Welcome back, everybody. It's been a couple of weeks, but we are glad to be back. This is the Scare Guy Show. I am Jim. I am your managing editor. Please like the show, follow us, share us, talk about us, make us your favorite thing of the week. We have a really good group of people today to talk about all things spooky. Who do we got with us?
It's Katie, you know, I guess series regular at this point.
It's kind of series regular. You're a recurring regular.
How do I'm you not dressed in cosplay tonight, so I know some people may not recognize me, but.
Boo.
You know, so yeah.
We don't recognize her when she's.
Actually, does your scarf say boo?
Yeah.
It does.
It's my Halloween scarf.
Oh, spooky.
There it is.
My name is Cordo. I'm with 1749 Creations.
Creations.
Yeah, we're getting used to that.
What's going on, folks? I'm Ben Cleaver at BenKleiewer on all social media. Actor, writer, comedian, regular on The Con Guy and The Scare Guy. And you can currently see me on the CBS All Access streaming series Strange Strange Angel season finale. That's kind of a spooky show. It's a scary show.
It's kind of cool.
It's weird. It's got cults and stuff.
And I'm Jet Lag Cheeseman on the couch, sitting here today drinking Coca-Cola for the first time on the show. Thank you, Coca-Cola, our proud sponsor of the show.
No, they're not sponsoring anything. No sponsors. No.
I'm joking. They're not. But I'm drinking it so I can stay awake.
I know. So, yeah. We are so jet.
Yeah, I'm here with ScareGuy.com.
Like Jim's all like,
no, they're not a sponsor. They're not sponsored.
They're going to sue us. They're going to take it offline.
And we also have a magnificent, super, super knowledgeable engineer in the booth named Anthony. Say hi, Anthony.
Who went to ScareLA with us.
Can you guys hear me? Hello, hello.
We can hear you.
Go back, Tony.
Right on. Yeah. Hey, I'm also jet lagged, even though I didn't fly anywhere.
He had too much of Bradley's Kool-Aid.
He's jet lagged from a late Saturday night after a scare leg. We had a blast. I have video of Anthony dancing. I'll show it to you guys later.
Ooh.
Anyways,
that's rude.
You videoed him dancing?
I did at the Roost. If you guys have not been to LA, been to the Roost bar, you should check it out. It's a fantastic.
I've heard of that. I've never been though.
It's basically a dive bar, but it's not gross. We love the manager Sai. She's amazing, and it's a cash only. It used to be super cheap, but now they're starting to go up in prices. We'll have to talk to her about
and
that.
And they sell pad thai and like Thai food. It's amazing.
You're really good.
Yes, that's dope. I love me some pad thai.
And you can use a card for that. It's
an all-cash liquor bar, but you can use your card for food. And they are not our sponsors either. I don't know why we're talking about
them. But they should be.
They should be.
That's our
they should throw some cash at us.
All right.
Cash sponsors only.
Let me be the first to wish you Merry Christmas.
Waka,
I'm sorry.
Waka.
I just wanted to piss Katie off.
That's way too soon.
We were talking right before the show.
No, we're not celebrating Easter yet.
It's the most wonderful time.
Just because the stores think it's already does not mean that there's not a holiday in between, two holidays in between.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
I know, they're trying to rush us out. What was your, and you were, we were talking
Happy
about her
New
favorite
Year's.
Christmas
song.
Yeah. Oh, most wonderful time of the year. Andy Williams, as performed by Andy Williams.
Mine is Burl Ives' Holiday. Jolly Christmas, which your soon-to-be wife cannot watch because she gets creeped out by claymation.
Yeah, right? My fiance Brianna, who's been on the show before, gets really creeped out by the claymation Christmas specials. So, like, Year Without a Santa Claus, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Reindeer! That's what we should do?
Ooh.
That's a new
that's
one.
That's an idea.
What's in the cup there, Ben?
Will Vinton's claymation Christmas, all those creep her out so she doesn't watch them, but...
that's cool.
A dentist.
Well, since we're talking about things that creep us out, we are going to jump into some haunted house stuff tonight. But specifically, our special guest tonight is Carter. He's a professional scare actor. He's a professional scarer. And you also, Carter, from what... you're a friend of Katie's. Thank you, Katie, for inviting him on the show tonight. Apparently, you are you're creating your 17 what's the
1749
creations. 1749
creations,
your company is creating, you're doing a haunted house this year.
Yeah, we're doing a home haunt in Pasadena. We're announcing the theme / IP on October 2nd. So that's going to be really fun.
He told us tonight what the theme of the haunted house is. We cannot announce it.
But you can't.
And I can just say it's very cool. And so how long have you been doing haunted houses?
I've been scare acting for about 8 years.
Right.
Professionally. Mm-hmm. I started when I was 13. And then
I love he says professionally at age 13. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, that was
it wasn't paid, but I did a local pro haunt at 13. My parents, thank God, allowed me to go on and help build and scare at a haunt, and it on my way because I when I was a young kid, I didn't want to go trick or treating. I just wanted to scare people. I wanted to create an experience for people to scare the living crap out of them.
Yeah. And where was this? Where did you grow up?
In Pasadena.
In Pasadena. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm born and raised. California.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
Southern California seems to have a preponderance of haunted houses and people who are in the industry.
Yeah, SoCal is like one of the highest, trying to think of the word, highest concentration of haunts, and it's the most competitive market. You know, we have Universal, we have Queen Mary, we have Six Flags, Knott's, just in the theme parks alone, and no other place in the world really has that. So,
and we have Hollywood.
Yeah, and we have Hollywood.
The studios.
Yep.
What was that? Holly what?
Hollywood.
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 Yeah. I've never heard of that. I've never heard of Hollywood.
We
before.
Have one competitor. There's probably one competitor in the country that they compete with us for the title of the most Halloween spot in the country. What do you think that is?
Winchester Mansion.
Close.
Oh,
but. I read the article today.
The White House.
Orlando, Florida.
Oh, yeah. Orlando.
I figured it was probably Florida.
Last year, Orlando, Florida actually had more specific scare nights because this article was counting the number of nights, which are dedicated to and they actually had more scare nights dedicated than any other place in the country. Mm-hmm. But we have more scare attractions.
Yeah, we have more haunted.
Plus, we have more people in the industry. Like, because of Hollywood and the film industry, you know, the top makeup artists, the top writers and creators of all this all are here in this area.
Boo, Florida. Boo, America's Wang.
I love Florida. Speaking of which, I think
America's Wang.
Some of us.
Yeah. Is that what you said?
Cuba.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't do us much good because we that would make us America's butt.
This nope. is great. Anyways, right? How many people are involved in your haunt? Your home haunt?
Right now, it's me and my creative assistant, Ben Waters. You might be watching tonight, and my
strong
parents
name.
Allowing me to build a haunt in at my parents' house. So that's really cool.
Nice. I love that.
Yeah.
That's pretty
Your
awesome.
Your parents are good people. We should have them on the show.
Yeah.
They're survivors. Have you guys seen the show on Netflix? It's, I was just...
Hunters.
Blah, blah, blah. I forgot the full name, but it's all about the...
Hunters. I'm actually in it for like 5 seconds.
Are you serious?
Yeah. At the end, I'm like in it as a clown. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I was scaring at Rotten Apple 907 here in Burbank when they when they came and filmed that. So... I was watching the movie one night on Netflix, and I was just like, oh, I know that scare actor.
That's there cool. Well, we hope to have the director of Hunters on the show here soon. We talked to him this weekend, and he said he'd like to come on. Along with, is it Char? Wait, is that her name? Hey, Luke.
Yeah.
What was that lady's name?
Luke's over digging in his backpack.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the lady's name?
Trying to find the program.
She's like, she's in here.
Give me your lunch money, Luke.
Anyways, here, you want this one?
No, you can keep it.
Okay. Anyways, we're going to move on. Thank you for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, of course.
Adding a level of discussion to the proceedings tonight.
Yeah, and of course, feel free to jump in, obviously. Yeah,
yes, for sure. Jump in all throughout. By the way, I just want everybody to know, there's a group here in Los Angeles. They call themselves the Halloween Crawl. They're not the Bar Crawl. They're the Halloween Crawl. There's about 20 to 25 people, and... it's the second or third weekend in October. I think it's the second weekend. They're going to hit all the major Halloween attractions in one weekend.
That's cool.
and they will be reviewing them all for us.
Wow.
All 20 of them. We're going to squeeze them in the room. Not really. We're going to be doing some videos with them, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So.
Isn't that crazy?
That seems like a pretty big commitment.
But I think they start Thursday. They do Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night.
Okay.
Good luck.
So
that's a lot.
I know that's a lot of Halloween.
It's
one
a lot
weekend.
Of boo.
I hope they bring their Fitbit so they can like track how much they walk in those 4 days.
They
so,
should.
It's true.
All right.
It's on the point.
Where have we been? Where have we been for a couple of weeks, Mr. Cheeseman on the couch?
Europe.
We have been in Europe. It was my very first trip to Europe, and we were actually in a wedding. A friend of ours got married. 6 weeks before he's getting married, he comes over and asks us, "Would you like to be?"
And where was it?
It was in.
He never remember. He's always like Winchester. I'm like, how many times do I tell you it's Birmingham that we're in?
Manchester. I never said Winchester once. I thought it was Manchester. I never knew where I was at. It was one of those kind of trips where you go to Europe and you're in a different city every 2 days, and you're in the airport more than you're. Anyways, it was an amazing trip. We went from London for the bachelor party to 3 days in Ireland for we don't know what happened there, and then it's Dublin.
Well, I mean, you're in Ireland.
It was the temple. It was the Temple Bar district, and then we went across the Cliffs of Moher. We came back and went to Birmingham for the wedding.
Cliffs of Insanity.
Jumped over to Paris and then back over to Italy for a couple of spots. But the
Sorrento and Rome
in London. Here's what's cool. Europe can be a pretty creepy place.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so old, so full of castles, so full of dead man's bones, as they put it.
Vampire.
Oh,
vampires.
Yeah, vampires.
Lots of vampires.
Plus, we didn't do it, but a couple of our friends, when we were in London, we were at a bachelor party. But what they did would have been a lot more fun. They went on the Jack the Ripper tour.
Nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, isn't that amazing? Man.
That's awesome.
They walked
I've heard about that.
The steps of Jack the Ripper. And I told Laurel and JJ we'd be talking about it, but they said they really enjoyed it. It was great. But there were people on the tour that had to step away from the tour because during the tour they were so descriptive with how Jack the Ripper would take apart his victims that it was so visceral that it was hard to take. Like how he would surgically separate the ribs and quickly take out the entrails and all this stuff. It just sounded like a fantastic tour.
Yeah. They made him sound a little like less edgy because it's like the rumor was he was like a crazy doctor or something that would go into the slums and kill people or whatever, but they made it sound like he could have just been more of kind of like a...
More of a surgical enthusiast.
Yeah. Because it wasn't done so clean,
right.
I guess.
It was done quickly,
people
though.
Thought. Yeah, but quickly.
But Anthony has a little video that me and Cheeseman put together of what we did when we were in Paris. All right, let's check it out.
Disassembling human bodies? Cool.
Yeah, this one, if it runs.
At the wedding.
That's the Louvre. But here the music's... And there's O-H.
I-O.
Oh.
And there's Notre Dame, which is beautiful but scary. But then here we go into the Paris catacombs.
That's pretty dope.
This was...
That's awesome.
Stinking...
Entre de catacombs.
Was it stinky?
There we are. That's our group going down into the... And the catacombs, for those who don't know...
You had to walk for like a mile or two just in this like dungeon feeling
thing. And it's way deep. It's not
Is it like
just,
cold?
Yeah, it's cold. There's like, don't touch the bones.
Please do not pet the skulls.
You guys, you're walking for miles. It's felt...
And this was just... The tip of the iceberg, I guess.
Yeah, like miles and miles of skulls. And see, all the little... Those are femur bones all piled up in the back. And bones, and bones, and more bones.
Those were all
Don't
people.
Don't they say those, like, millions?
Yeah, millions. 6 million.
Six million.
6 million people buried underneath the streets
it
of Paris.
It was an eerie feeling. Like, it was hard to, like, smile on a picture in any of these.
Well, yeah, for sure.
So we had to take
you're just kind of like...
Look at me, I'm surrounded by death.
Wait, did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Did you guys see that behind Luke?
Oh, whoa. There was something back there?
Yeah, I thought... No, I'm just fucking...
Hey, there's... And hey, you got to edit yourself there.
So, for those who aren't watching, we're looking at video of us underneath this...
Oh, creepy much, Luke?
With us, with bones upon bones upon bones. It looks like miles of bones just... I was surprised how out there they were. I thought they'd, like, back away from... But you could... And there's Luke getting freaked out a little bit. He's just tired of it. There's just so many... But look at this pile. This is kind of a funny shot.
Yeah, I just
didn't
know how to feel.
And there's a peeking around the corner.
Nice. How long were you guys in there for?
It seemed like way too long.
This is an exit.
Now, I don't recall why... How and why did all of these bones end up down here in such an organized fashion.
I meant to do a lot of research before the show tonight. That's me looking kind of badass.
I'm going
to
put Greg Heel.
No, but what happened was they did have some floods that some of their other cemeteries in town just flooded and collapsed. Mm. And they needed to get rid of it as soon as possible and put it somewhere.
They're like,
but it was also
got a bunch of bodies floating around.
It was the plague. The plague that swept Europe. It wiped out so many people, and they had to dispose of them in such a way.
They're like, we'll build some walls. This will be tasteful.
I know. So, like, we were down there with the plague.
Did you get the plague?
No. I guess we won't know for 6 weeks. But
did you see a rat? That's the question.
Yeah, were there any rats running
around? Not down there. Surprisingly, no rats down there.
Someone just asked what the show was about. Like, what is this show about? Best question ever. Thank you.
The answer is,
what is this?
What is this show?
The answer is, we don't know.
We are scary news events and cons, as I'm reading on of our placard behind us.
Do you think they were like, what is this show about? Or do you think they were like, what is this show about?
I think they stumbled upon us and they're like, get out of here. No, we are about all things.
I think they're excited.
We're about the fun side of horror, the parts that you can experience, mainly horror conventions, comic cons that with the scary side, events and haunted attractions. Mm-hmm. All things that you can experience. Yes, sir. You're looking at me like you have something else to say. But what did you think about the catacombs, Cheese?
You had a loaded look, Luke.
I was kind of creeped out and disturbed. It kind of like, I was like, I need a drink. Or I just felt like I walked through like a haunted graveyard. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because it was like, I had such like mixed feelings of like, oh, this is very artistic. There's a heart-shaped thing. They're doing all this like artsy kind
of... You mean like skulls put in the shape of a heart.
Yeah, but then I'm like, these were real people. And
Did you get a feeling like you were walking through caves made of human skeletons?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that was it. Exactly. Yeah.
You got that, did you?
I kind of picked up on that.
I thought it was going to... At first, we were all like, oh, this would be kind of cool. Let's go see the catacombs. And then halfway through, you just start feeling a heaviness.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then... Yeah. There's more, and it keeps going. You're like, when are we going to reach the end of this? And it keeps going, and it like we exited like a mile and a half from where we entered.
Yeah, and then we're just like, can we go do something happy? And then JJ didn't help because he was like, kept talking about this bird before we went in, like a bird that like lost its back wing and it looked like it got run over with a lawnmower.
Right,
like,
before
that
we
bird's
went in,
gonna die.
There was a bird
it's just
dying.
Being all depressing and.
There was a
bird
dying outside the doors of the catacombs.
Thanks, Debbie Downer. Wow, wow.
We had a fifth member of our group, Mark. He goes, he just thought it, and I kind of was with him. He's like, he thought it was a little bit disrespectful to be commercializing death the way that they were doing.
Yeah.
And
that's a very
valid concern. And at first I was like, yeah. So I
can understand.
I took some selfies. I would not include them in the video. After I took them, I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
No Jim stuff. Was smiling the whole time, and laughing and giggling and skipping through
sure,
the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, that's because he's a sociopath. But
Where there's that.
I think that's a good point, though, because I feel like for me, the reason I didn't watch a lot of horror when I was younger was because I felt like it was kind of desensitizing people to things that are real. So it's an interesting, someone would say that about
No,
them,
it's
like
real.
Like,
well, and there are...
Because it is stuff that's real.
Yeah.
There are different ways of looking at it, too, because it's like, well, death is a reality. Yep. It's a thing that's going to happen to all of us, and it has happened for literally millions of years on this planet, and so it's a reality, and these people were alive, and they had lives, and now they're dead, and their skeletons are made into decorative walls, but, you know, we should all be so lucky to be a beautiful piece of artwork, right?
Speaking of which, and I'm going to try to say this without being disrespectful. I was not raised Catholic, but we went to the Vatican and then St. Peter's Basilica, the largest Catholic church in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen anything so beautiful as far as church. Okay, let's move on. But they had mummified popes in there just out for display. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they did that. I did not know they did that. Anyways, we're done with this part. So,
and the person was excited about the show. They just said on the chat.
Yes.
Just so fantastic.
As you're watching, on the chat. This is what our show is about. Ben, what's coming up?
Well, I'll tell you what's coming up, Jim.
All right. This is what our show is about.
These are the upcoming horror conventions for the next couple of months. September 8th and 9th, Cryptid Con in Frankfort, Kentucky, which includes a Sasquatch hunt.
I've signed us all up. We're going.
All right.
Let's go.
September 14th through 16th, Scarefest Horror and Paranormal Convention, also in Kentucky, this one in Lexington. Home of the UK Wildcats, if you're a college sports fan.
And Jake Daniels.
Are they in Lexington?
Jack Daniels. That's where they're at. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean UK, University of Kentucky. Also September 14th through 16th, Son of Monsterpalooza. Mm-hmm. Not Monsterpalooza, Son.
FYI.
Yes. FYI, here in Burbank.
I bought my ticket already.
There you go.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
That's like, what, 3 weeks from now?
Oh, no. What was that, Lichten?
I can get a new lighter.
Son of Monsterpalooza. I'll talk to Burbank, you afterwards. California. October 12th through 14th. Halloween, 40 Years of Terror, Pasadena, California.
Your old stomp. It's your stomping
house. Because that's where they filmed the movie, right?
That's where they filmed the movie. That's the
official 40th anniversary celebration of the movie.
I went there like a week ago with one of my friends.
And, you went where?
South Pass and saw the Miles House. And it was just
Cool video on our website with all the locations and everything. It's really cool.
And what are they all doing? Is that at the house that they filmed it at?
No, it's at the Pasadena Convention Center, but they will be touring, from what I understand, the different locations, plus all the characters from the original production will be there.
There you go. Cool.
But they're still looking for Judith Myers.
October 19th through 21st, Necronomicon, Tampa, Florida. I feel like they're missing out on an opportunity by not calling it Necrocomicon.
I know. I know.
Yeah.
But they'll get sued if they do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's what? It says Necronomicon.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I feel like they're missing an opportunity, but nobody can use Comic-Con anymore because San Diego stole it. No, they didn't steal it.
They earned it.
Don't
get sued.
And then October 26th through 28th, Spooky Empire. Sorry, I had to do that. Orlando, Florida, the cast of The X-Files, Skinner, Mulder, Scully, Cigarette Man, plus Kathy, Najimy. From Hocus Pocus, of course. One of me and Bree's favorite Halloween movies.
Which is celebrating its 25th or 30th anniversary. 25th or 30th. Because this is this...
No, it has to be 25th because it didn't come out in 1988.
Right. Okay, you're correct. And it's also the 25th anniversary of Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. So both those movies are having a big celebration this October.
Katie and I were having a small debate. I consider Nightmare Before Christmas to be purely a Halloween movie, personally.
Yep.
Because I can't watch it in November.
It's not a Christmas movie.
I'm just like, no, it's not a Christmas movie.
The kids get decapitated heads in their stockings. Right.
It's not I want to see a reverse version of the movie, but that's just me.
All right.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh.
That's why you're on the couch.
You have to have a viewing, Cheeseman on the couch.
Seth has wanted to show me it forever.
Well, it usually comes here in California, here in Southern California, it usually comes back to the El Capitan Theater every Halloween in beautiful 4D. Which is not just 3D, but
they have snow come down and all that kind of stuff.
And this is the 25th anniversary, so they are doing some very cool things, and they will probably also do a Hollywood Bowl special presentation of it this year.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So this is the year to see it.
Yeah.
This is also the year that you have decided you're going to see the full movie of what?
The Exorcist.
I better change my mind again. The theatrical version or the...
I will strap you down to your chair and make you watch.
Which version?
Just do the Clockwork Orange.
Because I saw the theatrical version, which cuts out like the scariest parts.
The spider walk.
Yeah.
When he stopped watching.
Luke that's why I didn't want to watch it. That's why I didn't want to watch it.
It was like midnight, and I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna go to bed after this. Like I'm just done. I don't want to go through this whole experience late at night.
It's also the year that Luke has promised he's gonna kiss a girl.
Oh, finally!
So,
speaking of The Exorcist and Linda Blair, she was a guest this weekend at Scarelay. The Halloween convention here in Los Angeles is the very first Halloween convention. It's kind of like the competitor to Midsummer Scream. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, Midsummer Scream and Scarelay used to be just one big group of organizers, and they kind of decided to have separate conventions every year going forward. That's a nice way to put it, right? But you know what? Good for us, because now we have two great conventions here in Southern California that celebrates all things Halloween, all things horror. Midsummer Scream was down in Long Beach a few weeks back, and so this past weekend we went down to Los Angeles Convention Center for Scarelay. It was different this year. Cheeseman, wait, real quick, before we do... just want to let you know, for those of you who are watching, please don't think we're just going to talk about this convention and tune out, because the convention had a lot of cool stuff going on that is all about horror. Like, we're going to talk about George C. Romero. We're going to talk about Linda Blair. We're going to talk about Halloween Horror Nights. All those things were at this convention. So we're going to go through this. But first,
they already tuned out. Yeah. No, I'm just joking.
To give us a little introduction to the convention, Michael Myers takes us through Scarlet.
Oh, check it out.
Did Luke dress up as
Michael? And it was me.
Yeah, I think it was. That's the shape.
And there's Anthony and Brad. Brad, there you are. We finally got you on the show.
Yeah, there he is.
So,
sexy Jason Voorhees.
Oh, that kid was awesome.
Yeah, a little bitty kid that was dressed as Michael Myers was really cool.
Those zombies were dope. And he kept tilting his head and looking at me and stuff. Like, I was like, this is creepy.
That's awesome. Kids commit.
So, this is one of the LARP, one of the ballet dancers that were like the zombie ballet dancers were really cool. They might be coming on the show.
Norman's mom.
And the thing that was really cool, they had a lot of places, Katie, like you were talking, to go and dress up and take pictures. Yeah, it was really...
Luke, I want that picture.
Here's me choking Tony.
Those Luke, are tell demented me, puppets.
Luke, tell me you walked around saying, "Oh, behave." Yeah, baby.
I should do a mashup of that.
Yes, you should.
That would be awesome, actually.
They had some great... I mean, the costumes were pretty spectacular.
These are some awesome costumes. Awesome. Yeah. Cousin Itch.
I loved it. That was really cool.
Bree and I need to break out our Gomez Morticia again.
Yes, you should. I'm in love with Jack-O-Lantern, so I had to put his name in there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they had some full-size mazes, some full-size haunted houses. That's me and Tony in the front of the ghost train. That guy's a medium. He might want to come on the show as well. My pumpkins again. Yeah, he's a real one.
He's not a large or small.
Babadook! This lady actually was involved with creating the Babadook costume for the
more
film.
Pumpkins. Oh, no.
Yes. More pumpkins. Luke.
Oh, those creepy dolls. Duke.
And so they had some really cool places to take all these pictures. So all around the convention,
lounging.
Can that be your Christmas card?
I know,
lounging Michael Myers. Christmas.
Nice Pennywise. It's Halloween though. It's still Halloween.
It looks like Luke's strangling a man there.
I was.
Mikey is my homie.
I should have got that one.
That's pretty legit, Michael Myers mask.
I know.
Thank you. Trick or Treat.
Look at Christmas.
Also sponsoring the show tonight.
There's that. Talk about that poster in just a second.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that show.
Yeah, and some cool costumes. There's the
VR bus.
That was the scariest thing I've ever done.
Andy Dick.
Yes. Wow. Oh, that was Andy Dick and Linda Blair.
There's my shirt glowing.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, we don't need to turn off the lights.
That was inside one of the attractions. Elmo as Freddy Krueger. That was fantastic.
That's really cute.
That's really cool.
Elmo wants to kill you.
So, Cheeseman, tell us about the poster you were holding up.
So there's this movie called Dolly that I never saw, but like the poster alone just scared me as a kid, where like walking out of the video store, it was like above the doorway, and I could like I always had to like look down because the poster like freaked me out so much. So like when like we'd be like checking out getting the VHS
of
the movie that we're renting. And
for
then,
those
like,
of you that didn't know, that was a magnetic tape cassette device that we used to watch videos
on a
video cassette recording device.
Yeah. And you had to rewind.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. You had to
wait
like 5 minutes to rewatch the movie if you wanted to watch it. Yeah.
And if you didn't, you get charged at the video store rewinding fee.
So I'd go like rent like Surf Ninjas, and then I'm like walking out, and then I have to like put my head down because I don't want to look at the Dolly poster. It's just
there you go.
You really like? Didn't your mom also ask them to remove another poster because it was too frightening?
No,
for
that
you?
Was the Nightmare on Elm Street 2 movie in the grocery store.
Yeah,
she asked, but they said no.
You couldn't go into the grocery store.
Excuse me, sir. Can you take down that poster? It's scaring my child.
Let's not have my mom talk. She'll be here in a couple of weeks.
I think that's exactly how your mom talks.
All right. So. Anyways, so Cheeseman, what were your overall impressions of Scarlet, and then we're going to let you go through your pictures that we have here.
Okay. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was like a little like smaller this year than previous years, which was kind of cool in a way. Like I always talk about like Long Beach and other stuff. It's kind of cool cuz there's not as much lines, and I kind of liked the way like the main stage was kind of there in the main room, and like you never had to kind of like worry about the long line or getting in, and it was very quick to like I got to see the floor more than I've ever gotten to see at any convention just because it was there with everything. So in between things, I could keep kind of cruising along, and I hit like every booth like probably twice.
What he's talking about is really like cool. It was in the
– And the blackout. Was
the Los cool Angeles too. Convention Center, and it was in a great big convention center room. It was all the lights were off except for the lights per each table, and they had – lots of smoke and lots of spotlights and lighting effects, and I thought that was pretty amazing. It felt like you were in like one of the theme parks during a Halloween event. It was loud.
It looked like it from the pictures.
Lots of screaming, lots of running around, lots of loud music everywhere, and on the walls they had projections of everything you need. Like, here's the main stage. Over here's the screening room. Over here's the haunts. And it was cool. They had some full-size haunted houses. Some of the biggest haunted houses I've ever seen at a convention. Those were
and
really
a train.
Good. They had a train.
Where you wear 3D glasses.
Tony, what'd you think of the train?
Oh, yeah, it was fun.
He likes to lose things.
Yeah.
Well, the train was cool because it was like it was all the fluorescent paint, and as you're riding through this thing, it looked at all the things were jumping out at you because you had the 3D glasses on.
Nice.
That was really cool.
What was the Jim the school bus that you said was the scariest thing you've done? What was that?
Well, it was one of the scariest things I've done as far as like haunted houses. I love haunted houses. They make me jump and stuff. But this it was the virtual reality school bus. Do you have the card? Yeah. What's it called?
VR Territors Horror in Motion, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes, and we
by Jay Martinez, CEO.
We're heading to Las Vegas in a couple of weeks with a friend who's coming to town, and we asked this guy if we can come by and do
is that
it
Luke's
again.
Mom? You're going to Vegas with Luke's mom.
Is your mom here during Vegas?
No, like right after.
Is it in Vegas?
I gotta make things right again.
Vegas? Actually, they do it in Vegas. They do it in Los Angeles. And they do it in a couple different spots. They're going to be in Vegas, I think, during the Halloween season. But they were here, and you get on the school bus, and you put on the VR set,
right.
And it's like, and it looks so real. And you're driving the bus, and all of a sudden, the top of the bus flies off, and it gets dark, and there's a monster right here, and then there's a monster right here.
Maybe jump more than an actual haunted house, to be honest.
That's pretty rad.
Because you don't know. With the VR, I know I've gotten pretty freaked out with VR sometimes because you literally.
Realistic. It was pretty alarming. Like there was one part where you are strapped down in a gurney, but you're strapped down and they roll you as a gurney into a room and you are cremated. I'm like,
wow!
I turned around to see if there was someone actually like shutting the thing, but I don't think there was.
Oh
like,
my gosh!
It was cool though because you had the like sound and everything, and then.
Yeah,
I think it was pretty quick moving. Like you're on this bus, and it kept going from stop to stop, and then kind of dissolving. The thing you even went down to hell at one point.
Yeah, takes you down to hell, and there's demons down there, and you get burned. And like you're all of a sudden it's in the dark, and you know that there's something around. And I'm looking behind me, and I turn back around, and the thing is right here in your face. You're like, it was well done.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's basically Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
But in VR.
That's really kind of what you called it, Mr. Toad. There was something else. Oh, never mind. That was a different thing.
Yeah. But, it's interesting that the VO has that effect because in a haunt, when you're walking through it, it's you have somewhat of control as a guest of how your pacing, of how fast you walk through it, your reactions to the actors. With this, it's a video. You don't have control of the speed. That's stripped away from the
You
gas.
Have a little bit of control of looking back forth, and that's about it.
That's it, and that's really, I think, what gets VO in a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it's the future. Like, I really feel like this is something that's going to really be explored more, and you're going to feel that kind of Ready Player One or that kind of Total Recall experience of just, like, living in a movie or in different kind of fandoms or something.
There's a certain point where it comes to where like it just happens that like you kind of lose touch with actual reality and you and that's when the magic really starts to happen.
Right.
Because your consciousness is like, I know I'm in the real world, I'm sitting down, but in this world my mind is playing tricks on me where I actually think I'm in the VR video. That's one of the most like scariest and appealing things about VR.
I loved it. Yeah. Like, and I used to not be able to do VR; it would make me sick. But I think it's come so far now, and
it really has.
And but this was, I agree with you. I think it is kind of they're going to push this even further and further forward. And speaking of things that are pushing us forward, we hope to have an episode of the show where we are talking just about haunts and the future of haunts and where haunts are, you know, because we right before we got here, we did watch Dark Journeys, Dark Passage. What's the show on Netflix?
Dark Tourist.
Tourist. And I watched the entire season of that. That's an amazing.
And the McCamey stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's so controversial. And the stuff he's doing now doesn't even seem like a haunted house. Now he just takes people out and tortures them.
It's a psychological.
I've grown less and less of a fan of what he does. But while, oh my gosh, what is this?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of.
He has opinions.
I thought you were about,
have opinions.
I thought you were about to say we torture people in our home haunt.
No.
We do have a question.
What's the question?
Somebody was asking what scared us the most as kids.
Oh.
I already shared a couple of things. Well, I've shared Freddy, the
my very first horror movie,
VHS, and that poster of Dolly.
Yeah, I grew up in a
Chucky did too.
I'm a religious guy. I grew up in a religious family, so I was kind of limited in what I would see as a kid. But when I was in kindergarten, we had free HBO weekend, and my parents said, "Oh, there's this religious movie on, The Omen." Which
oh man!
And I remember, my dad. I love my dad. And I love my mom. But I'm telling you what, when I'm up there, I am 5 or 6 years old, and I see that guy's head get sliced off by that pane of glass, and his head goes flying. And I'm screaming, and my dad goes, "Oh, just go downstairs. I'll be down later."
That's the opening scene.
It was great.
When I was a kid, I saw the original movie Piranha on TV, and that freaked me out.
Yeah.
Because, at first they're in, a containment pool, at a science facility, and then it drains out into the river or whatever, and then they get out. And this was, during the summer, and I would, go to the local swimming pool every day, and mm-hmm. that kind of freaked me out. I lost some sleep over that when I was pretty young. I was probably, mm-hmm. 6, 7, maybe 8 years old.
And real quick, because we have a lot to cover. What about you guys? Real quick.
I literally watched half of The Sixth Sense, and then I didn't watch the end of it for a long time.
Ah!
And I know it's really weird, but the part where he sees them hanging scared me. The part where he sees the bodies hanging, I literally was scared to take a shower because I was afraid I was going to walk out and there's going to be a body hanging.
Yeah.
In my Bruce Willis bathroom. Was dead.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that and the scene when he's in the closet terrified me. Terrified.
Oh my. What about you?
This is going to sound ridiculous, but when I was
not in this room, younger,
yeah, I thought when I would get up to use the bathroom at night, a toilet monster would come and get me. Like it
ridiculous.
Would reach out of the toilet.
Was it because of the one comics, the Far Side comics?
No, I had a dream.
Oh, okay.
I saw my parents watching a TV show. Well, these creatures came out from
gosh.
The dark.
The ghoulies.
Terrible.
To this day, I still get freaked out if I wash a spider down the drain in the shower that it will come back out.
The revenge.
I hate spiders.
My first thing, just real quick, that ever scared me that I was terrified of was the Witch of Wizard of Oz when I was five.
Oh, wow.
Fair enough.
That's old school.
I couldn't watch. It was just so scary to me, and I even thought I saw a witch outside my window when I was a kid.
So Luke,
you did.
I did.
Okay, we have a lot to cover. Hey, Luke, can you quickly take us through your pictures real quick? And I think we have...
Let's just skip that.
Hey, well...
let's just skip
okay,
that.
Okay, next.
Me as Michael Myers next, in front of the Scare LA thing.
That who was that?
The, she did the...
the makeup for Batman.
Beetlejuice. Batman and Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, yeah.
Oh, is
yeah.
that...
yes.
The
I've got it right here.
I can't
I'll look it up while you do that.
No. Dean. Next, there's a cool women's shirt there. Follow your dreams.
Follow your dreams,
oh,
Freddy.
Cool.
I bought that. That's the shirt I bought.
Rick Jim has
I love
that.
The.
And then
this
who
is the
Tony
Gregory Plotkin, I believe.
Yes,
the director of
Hell.
Hellfest.
Yes, and other
an editor
and Happy
Get Out and Happy Death Day.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, he was the editor in this, so he's pretty well. And Tony had a great question for him about a scene that we should have included the video tonight, but I did not.
That's cool. Whatever.
Next.
And that's being him.
Oh, that's the director. Yeah.
Yeah. I also got
without
to talk
my
to
Michael
him.
Mask.
Is her name Vi Davis?
Yeah. What? Keep going. Yes.
Is that her name?
Yes.
And that's from the this Halloween cool. Horror Nights. Preview of what the Frankenstein's going to look like. The mold, basically.
Of the face, all right. And what's
that? And that's the mummy for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Keep.
And that's Renfield, I think.
What's this for?
Yeah.
This is for the
Universal Monsters.
Yeah, the classic monsters.
Yeah.
The two creators for the Halloween Horror Nights mazes,
okay.
They were there discussing... What's that one, Luke?
Yeah, that was Renfield as well. They're just
Dr. Frankenstein.
Right. Igor,
the assistant.
Yeah.
Yep, that's
Master.
Igor.
And
that's inside
me during
the
VR thing before it started.
That was really.
I
cool.
was scared before it started.
This is the Haunters group that did the Netflix documentary. The guy on the far left is the person we're going to try to get on the show, along with I think the lady right next to him, Char.
Yeah,
we're
talking to her as well.
Yeah, she'll try to get her on.
McCamey wasn't though.
No,
and there
no,
was okay. that.
Not this.
They
time.
Had live music as you were walking in, so that
kinda
was
dope.
One of the bands.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty dope looking band.
That's all, folks.
That's all. Cool.
That's it.
All
right, Anthony. If we can go ahead. So what we're going to do is show you a little bit of what we saw there. The very first one is a sample from the Linda Blair panel, which I think we got the best part right here. This is Linda Blair from The Exorcist.
An amazing documentary called The Making of The Exorcist, Behind the Scenes, and it's a genius.
She said that every time you asked her question.
I think you'll really enjoy it. It answers everything. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, and that's all I'm talking about, Exorcist.
She's basically like, I'm not here to answer your questions.
It's true.
I think when you see the whole thing and behind the scenes, that it makes a lot more understanding. It's the hardest movie probably ever made. That was without Cleopatra, movies like that. Those were big sets and huge stunts. This was very intimate and very different. So I think it's important people see the work of Dick Smith, the grandfather of makeup. Rick Baker, who went on to win so many Academy Awards. So these are who created the makeup and so on, and then you had Marcel Bocatier, the special effects. You have the best actors in the world, the best director, Billy Friedkin, an amazing screenplay, and it was just enormous amount of intense professional work.
So she played Reagan, the possessed child. And the reason we were making fun and of that is like, so she shows up and she gets up on stage and starts talking about her charity to save dogs. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then she continues to talk about it. And she continues to talk about it. And she goes, all right, any questions? And someone's asked her a question about the
Exorcist. And she said, we'll get to. She kept saying, yeah, oh, we'll get to that.
The stuff you came for, we'll get to that. And then people asked her a question about The Exorcist. She goes, you know what? I answered that in this documentary. And you heard her right there talk about the documentary.
Yeah, that was the first time. And then first she got a little kind of quicker and harsher about it. Like someone would ask another. And she's like, watch the documentary. And then just like would not answer anything about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool. Like, here's the thing. I understand you're there. You're talking about what you're passionate about right now. Your charity that you're working with, and you want to get the word out. And that, you know, that's to cool. start off talking about that, that's great. But you are at a horror convention.
Yeah. She couldn't seem to get that.
And people saw her on the programming thinking like, oh, I'm going to hear about her experience.
Well, that's why you go to a horror convention as a famous horror actor.
Yeah.
Right. You know? I mean, let's be fair. Linda Blair didn't make a name doing anything else. I mean, she had a career, but everybody knows her from The Exorcist.
Her most famous
part.
But
some of the people there were commenting about the other movies and how much they enjoyed those. Sure,
well. And she scared them away from talking about The Exorcist. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, when that is your big thing that you're known for, and then you go to a convention that is centered around that, just... Sure, the documentary's out there, but just talk about it, man.
Just humor us a little bit.
By the way, you're correct. The Neil.
V-Neil. That's her name.
V. Neil is the lady from Beetlejuice.
The makeup artist.
All right, so this next clip is George C. Romero, and I ask him a question right here. I don't know if you can understand it, but let's go ahead and hear it. Whoops, there we go.
Question is, from your experience growing up in your household and your experience as a filmmaker, if you had to look 5 years, 10 years into the future and kind of help to predict or kind of give us your best idea of where is horror going, where is horror filmmaking going, what would you say? What can we expect?
I would say I hope it's going back to the fringe.
That's a good answer.
I mean, and I think it is. I think that just like everything, you know, it has its ups and downs, it ebbs and flows, right? And I think that what the guys we were just talking about did paved the way for some new guys to come in and go make all that shiny studio stuff, which there's nothing wrong with it. It's great. I get it. It makes money. It scares people. It makes people happy to watch it. I love it. But, you know... Nothing great ever happened inside a comfort zone, right?
So I love that.
Yeah,
that's a great. With the advent of cameras getting smaller, YouTube growing the way it has.
And this is George C. Romero, the son of the legendary George Romero.
There's
Night of the
Fringe.
Living Dead fame.
There's a new indie, right? And I believe it's more fringe than it ever was. So. I think that what's happened is
jump
the fringe
cut.
Is opening up.
Oh, nice, Lou.
And we're going to find.
You're allowed it, isn't it?
The best horror we've ever seen. But the mainstream is never going to know about it.
All right.
Because it's going to be out there somewhere in the dark. And people like us, we're going to go find it. And we're going to watch it. And we're going to love it.
Fantastic.
I have... Mm-hmm. All right.
Go ahead.
I get what he's saying.
Yeah.
But the reason... I mean, there's so many like indie horror films that start off, you know, in the dark that become mainstream because of how good they are.
Mm-hmm. No more activity.
So yeah, just, I would like, say this is the best example.
I don't know. I don't get what he... I mean... I guess I don't. I would say I disagree with him.
By the way, you mentioned Paranormal Activity. Yeah. The guy who we met who directed Hellfest mm-hmm. and Happy Death Day, he also directed Paranormal Activity.
But because of people doing that, and like he said, we'll know about it and be watching, they'll come to mainstream from people knowing.
Yeah. Ben, what were you about to say?
Well, I was just basically going to piggyback off that. He's saying, from what I could tell, is you know, from a purely filmmaker perspective, like – the artistic integrity of doing just doing the thing because you want to do it and not worrying about, you know, the studio picked it up and so they're going to polish it and make sure it makes lots of money. And that's always going to exist and the fringe is always going to exist. But he's just saying he kind of longs for the days where it's like a bunch of guys got a check from somebody and they went out and made a horror movie and it was crazy. And it gets you out of doing what the studio quote unquote knows is going to sell and lets you make your movie that's usually the ones that people remember the most because they are different.
Didn't you guys just recently make a film?
Me and my friends from work?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we
super
did.
Indie.
Did you guys watch it?
Not yet. Oh, I want to see it though.
Yeah, like
you sent it to us?
I thought I did. No, you guys were gone.
You
guys
showed us
gone.
A picture, I think.
Okay. Yeah, but you guys were, I think, overseas when we filmed it.
Oh,
when
okay.
It came out.
Haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, like, this one, we kind of just put a blast out on Facebook. We're like, hey, who has the costumes for... We had our idea, and we said, who has a costume for Freddy and Jason and Myers and the guy from Scream. I always forget his name, but the...
Ghostface.
Yeah, Ghostface. Yeah. So it was
and
like,
they all teamed up to save
costumes.
Christmas.
And, you know, and our concept is you... It's a random, like, it's a wheel, and it tells us what our genres are and our topic, and it was, like, a horror film about camping, and we're like, well, that's not cliche. So, it's interesting. I think it's fun. I'll send it to you guys so you can see the link, but, yeah, it was fun, and we just did that on, like, 4 hours, 5 hours. Well, there was a couple different days of filming, but...
That's cool. Yeah. Did you read this comment right here?
I just saw it while you were
finishing it to me. No, we'll tell you later. The thing that was cool about George C. Romero, he was there the 50th anniversary of his father's film Night of the Living Dead. Guess what he talked about? Night of the Living Dead.
What?
And
what?
Zombies.
Did he not tell you to just watch a documentary about Night of the Living
Dead?
And
I'm saving cats now, so let's talk about that.
And the cool thing about it was he was talking about wanting to continue his father's work. And it's like, my dad had all these ideas and things, so I know you as the fans deserve to have it. So I'm me being kind of responsible for... the content, like he's like, I want to give that to you and figure out ways to do it.
Continue the legacy.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think, should we skip, we're going to skip the Hell's Kitty one, even though the guy from Killer Clowns from Outer Space had an answer about like, now is a great time to start your career in horror because there's so many opportunities.
Yeah.
And it's great advice. And he says, they talk about YouTube and everything and everybody has an opportunity. It kind of goes along with what George C. Romero was saying, but like it's a great time to get into horror, to start horror. If you're a filmmaker or you're in this industry, it's a great time to start. But let's skip, if you don't mind, Anthony, down to John Murdy and Chris Williams. They're the creative force behind Halloween Horror Nights in Hollywood, and they're sharing some behind the scenes about the newest maze featuring the classic Universal Studios monsters. Right here.
Now, the way Chris and I approach the characters, because this is an original take on the classic Universal Monsters films, is we wanted to look at the inherent story of every single character. Because if you boil all these movies down to their core, and in the case of Frankenstein,
yes.
You're talking about a book by Mary Shelley, right? 200 years old this year, right? The horror in that book is scarier to me than anything you could put on the screen today. At its essence, it is about... a corpse. Okay. Actually, it's about many corpses that Dr. Frankenstein exhumes from the graveyard, stitches the various pieces together, jolts it to life with electricity, and then expects everything to just be fine. But it's not. Because the essence of Frankenstein is he is dead, and he's been brought back to life, but brought back to life in a forbidden way. So we tried to
think about it. It's kind of gross.
Down to its essence, and for us, it's reanimated corpse. Again, we do our research. So these are just a couple of research images that Chris and I pulled. One of them's Walking Dead, the work of our good friend Greg Nicotero. And the other one is Frankenstein in one of the later Frankenstein movies when he's set on fire. We wanted to combine those two things, so gave it to Chris, and this is our concept art that came out.
Wow. Yeah, so, hey, this is our
kind of hard to see that.
Yeah.
You can see on the left side is the overall and the costume. Yeah,
it looks good on the broadcast. That's the
yeah. So what we're looking at, it's like Frankenstein. All these years later, is a little bit decayed. He's been burnt. Teeth are exposed. Bones are exposed. It's kind of a neat idea.
Yeah,
they kind of want to zombify him a little bit.
Yep. Yeah. But you think about Frankenstein.
Zombify the undead.
Yeah,
zombie. Yeah, he is.
Because in some, yeah,
he's all these different body pieces sewn together.
And he is technically.
Undead.
Already a yeah. He's a zombie.
So, yeah.
So to speak.
So what they were talking about there, the newest maze at Universal Studios, and you said that you were watching the live stream of it. They were having some technical difficulties. Yeah. But John Murdy and Chris Williams were complete pros. They got us through it, and they took us through all the classic Universal monsters are going to be in one maze. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I am so excited about that. I hope this one. Did they say that?
I want the
creature's going to be there?
The creature.
They didn't talk about him, so he may not be there.
Gilman, I believe, is the correct term.
But we were going to talk a little bit, but the classic Universal Monsters, you're wearing Frankenstein tonight on your shirt, which is great.
And which for them was kind of the beginning of it for them. They're definitely into Frankenstein, and we're making that a big part of it. And they even talked about, like, at the end of it, they want to continue it into the streets. So it feels by doing kind of this, like, mass kind of, like...
Scare zone out there.
Scare zone kind of thing. So, like, it'll kind of continue. So they're hoping people will come out kind of, like, relieved to get out. But then all of a sudden it's like,
I think they were most vulnerable. Like the classic Mask of the Red Death from Edgar Allan Poe, I think, is what they were describing it out in the streets. So you're going to see all the monsters all together in a grand manner, including Hunchback of Notre Dame, Dracula, Frankenstein, the Mummy. The Invisible Man was interesting. They're doing the Invisible Man, which...
That seems pretty low budget to me.
How will you know he's there? Bride of Frankenstein, of course, and then the Werewolf, which I just love all these characters. And it's... And they even did talk how they did have to consult with the guys who are putting together Universal's Dark Universe because, you know, as many people know, Universal was attempting to put together a reimagining of all their classic characters, and it didn't
a Marvel style shared universe.
And it
didn't get off to quite a great start.
I don't know. What were they thinking? I mean. They've done what have they done so far?
Well, they did the Mummy.
They did the Mummy. Right?
And the thing with the Mummy was that was like a contractual thing with Tom Cruise, and he wanted to be very prominent in the movie, and it didn't end up working out with the broader storyline that they wanted to tell. At least that's what I've kind of gleaned from the information I've received about it. So that, you know, but I thought it was cool how they had it set up, like, cuz what's his name? Was Jekyll and Hyde.
Russell Crowe
was Dr. Jekyll, and like setting up this whole thing, and then they were going to keep going, and it kind of sputtered out, unfortunately.
Well, and I guess the Mummy itself, the movie didn't take off. It was more of basically a Tom Cruise action movie.
Yeah.
And the Mummy, although it was a female mummy, which is all fine and dandy, but it seemed more like that character from a... what was it?
Suicide Squad.
The same exact character.
The
woman who walks around with all kinds of things flying around her, and she's super powerful. And just bring back a scary mummy. Bring back make the Dark Universe dark instead of super adventure filled and stuff. Make it really cool again. You know,
instead of a dubstep version.
I know. That's what I would.
I like the Brendan Fraser mummy.
Wasn't Dracula and Toad? The first one?
Dracula Untold. Yeah. That was like in 2014 with the...
Yeah.
What's his name? Benicio.
Benicio del Toro?
Yes.
No, that was the Wolfman.
That was the Wolfman. That was a while ago. That wasn't part of this.
Was it Luke Evans? Continuity.
I think it was Luke Evans.
As Dracula.
But that was Wolfman. Anthony?
Wolfman's with Benicio.
But that wasn't part of this continuity.
Yeah, it was before.
Luke Evans, I believe, is Dracula.
Yeah,
is it Dracula Untold? I thought it was. Oh wait, that's a more. Never mind.
I do know
Dracula 2000.
Yes,
that's no.
Bride of Frankenstein was supposed to be the next one. It was David Condon. I think he was directing
it. Speaking of music,
but they have postpone that. We have one last clip, and then we're going to try to wrap it up tonight. But this one was super cool. This was a big surprise.
And this was my favorite part, yes. I think, of Scare LA.
Yes. And what to describe what this is. This is
cool. Well, like, they're like, oh, thank you for your patience and all that, even though they would have done it anyways. But, like, those guys are awesome at always giving all the information that they need. But then they surprise us with a special guest who's doing the music
for this maze.
And it was Slash from Guns N' Roses.
And they played a lot of the music, but this is just a little sample right here. This is kind of cool. And that's Slash on stage. You're going to see him right now.
I have something to say about Slash after this.
Better be good.
It's related.
Listen to this. This is awesome. Let's just say Slash came out and was dropping F-bomb after F-bomb on stage.
Oh, yeah. Did you
see that? Uh-huh.
But, like, so this
but
is
he's
the,
a rock star, so.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And, like, he did this. This is kind of cool, creepy music right there. No one's talking, just listening to the music. What's that? But he did this one section. Was 4 or 5 minutes long and this great.
They went through a lot. Yeah. Like, we probably had, like, a 15 to 20 minute listening session of just, like, I hope they make a soundtrack of it.
I do too. I'll buy that soundtrack.
Well, a few years ago, Slash produced a movie, and I cannot remember the name of it right now, but it was about Stull, Kansas. If you've ever heard of the town of Stull, Kansas, it's an actual place, and there used to be a cathedral there, and there are all these urban legends about the basement of the cathedral is one of the seven portals to hell on the surface of planet Earth. And there used to be rumors that, like, if the Pope was flying over the United States, they wouldn't fly over Stull, Kansas. And Slash produced a film about Stull, Kansas, but it was a narrative. It wasn't a documentary or anything, and it was about dead people rising from the grave and that sort of thing. But it's a very real place with a lot of urban legends around it. It's up around the Kansas City area.
That's pretty cool. I know that the thing that was so cool is as Slash loves Halloween Horror Nights.
He's a big horror guy.
Yeah, he's a big horror guy. He couldn't wait to work with them. He was so excited to work with them, so it was kind of cool. He did this whole album. It really tells you something that this event, the Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, they really have quite a budget and quite a bit of resources to hire Slash to do the music for just one of their mazes. It's almost like... The rest of the competition just
I hope they sell an album because that didn't really show kind of the full thing of like what that was more kind of the slower. But they did a lot of it had his shredding and other kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, amazing. And
he plays guitar.
He was on this album called guitar. Thriller. Was that him? I don't remember. Oh, that was Eddie Van Halen. Wrong era.
No, similar era.
There's the door.
About the same era.
He was on the follow up album. Anyways. We do have to finish up here. We did have some news I wanted to go over, but we're not going to go over it, except for one piece of information. Six Flags this year. Six Flags and CBS Films have partnered up. There's three different Six Flags parks across the country. It's Six Flags Magic Mountain in Valencia, California, Great Adventure in Jackson, New Jersey, and Great America in Gurnee, Illinois. That's where I used to go when I lived up there.
Gurnee.
They are creating a maze theme to Hellfest, the new movie coming out, the director whom we spoke with at Scare LA. Anyways, because parts of Hellfest, from what I understand, were filmed at Magic Mountain, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. And so they went ahead and Six Flags continued the theming across their theme parks for this coming Halloween season. So that's
who's producing
cool.
that movie?
Is that Blumhouse? I do not know. It's Hellfest, right? CBS. Looks like CBS Films.
Oh, okay. CBS Films and Lionsgate.
Lionsgate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know what?
Interesting.
So this is we had a great time at Scare LA. It was a good event. I'm looking forward to next year. But this is how we're ending tonight. Everybody, what is one thing or two? But you got to be quick. That you are looking forward to the most this Halloween season. All right, and we'll start with Katie.
Well, I get to actually enjoy my Halloween season this year because I will not be occupied with work. But I am honestly really excited about WB's event and seeing what they show up with and do.
Oh, you mean the WB Warner event? Brothers, the Warner event. Brothers event? Yeah. Yeah, they're doing a cool Halloween event.
Yeah, I'm really curious
event.
To see that. So
it's called Where Horror Is Made.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. They added like twice as many dates as last year. So.
And like they have like It is going to be there, mm-hmm. some Exorcist stuff, some Lost Boys stuff,
Freddy Jason,
they're getting it all back.
Conjuring.
Because Warner Brothers owns New Line, which was basically built on the back of Freddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the challenge of building the haunt.
I know, that's so fantastic, man.
And it's always a challenge to build a haunt ground up, especially with what we're doing. And then, you
it's like the Oscars.
Basically
right
the
now.
Hook. Woo!
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, And then WB as well.
Yep.
And getting into all the hunts.
Oh. Brianna and I haven't done a whole lot for Halloween in the past. This year we've cleared our schedule for conventions until February with the Doctor Who convention. So we're not even doing LA Comic Con this year. So we're going to spend a little more time in watching scary movies. Maybe we'll go to a couple of haunted events. We'll see. But yeah, we're just looking forward to enjoying.
We'll see what we can do about that.
She's on couch.
Yeah, Halloween Horror Nights is always a great time. Looking forward to that. The Warner Brothers, as you said, hope to do that again. And then these home haunts is kind of like a new thing I've been hearing about, and we've met a few people that we're going to possibly have on the show.
I'm going to come check out your home haunts.
Yeah, I really want to check out some of these home haunts. And then, of course, the movie Halloween coming out is one of the best things. That's
going
to
be huge.
Something I'm really looking forward to. As we said, at Comic-Con, we saw a scene, and looks pretty good so far.
I can't wait. Okay, boom. Halloween is my number one thing for this Halloween season. My number two is the movie Hellfest. I am really stoked about that movie. I don't know why, but also one of the number one things, two things I want to do this Halloween season I'm really excited about. One is to be, I'm going to Orlando to check out Orlando's Hollywood Horror Nights, which always makes me super excited. And secondly, the Hollywood 40th Anniversary Convention happening in Pasadena with all the cast of the movie Halloween. I'm a Halloween buff, so I love that. Thank you for watching the show tonight. Please follow us on all your social things, and you can follow me. I am Con Guy Jim online on Twitter, and also follow the show at The Scare Guy.
I'm Katie on Twitter. You can find me at KT_Christine, and on Instagram, it's Katie's Fairy Tale.
1749 Creations on everything, so at 1749 Creations, and also you can follow my personal account at the Jinx Node.
And they are making the announcement of the theme of their house on
October 2nd.
October 2nd. All right.
I'm Ben Cleaver at BenKlieWer on all social media platforms, and you can see me on the Strange Angels season finale on CBS All Access.
All right.
And I'm Cheeseman on the couch. You can find me on Twitter at CheeseOnCouch and on thescareguy.com. And just real quick, these were the couple things I got at the Scare LA. Got these people, Monster Tease, T-E-A-S-E.
Yep.
They're going to be coming on the show. This really cool Michael Myers.
Yep.
That Creatures one.
This one that I'm wearing.
And Tony got a Beetlejuice, and then I got this cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, cool. That. And got this cool little Jaws lighter.
Nice.
Dun, dun, dun.
Really excited about this stuff, and great time with Scarlett.
He doesn't smoke. He's just a pyromaniac. Thank you guys again for watching the show tonight. If you have a chance, come join us for a drink over at Casa Vega if you're in Los Angeles. If you're not, well, go have a drink somewhere else. Anyway.
We just invited some creeps to come join us.
We will not be back next week because it's Labor Day, but we will be back soon. By the way, 2 months to Halloween. 2 months to Halloween, guys.
No, a week.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Halloween. All right, see you guys later.
Bustin' makes me feel good.
Bye, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.